Well, just a typical Monday night. I'm encouraged. Usually it goes down. We didn't go down much, if any. I spoke this morning at McCracken. Is that right? High school. I got up at 6. I wasn't pumped about it. I wasn't excited about it. But I met with about 40 or 50 kids just to pray and challenge them to give out. There were some tickets, and I don't know if we've got any more, if they're making any more, but giving out tickets for this week, especially for Wednesday. And so they each took 2, and by the time I finished, I only had like 17 minutes, and I took all 17 minutes. They took over 200 tickets to give out at their school, those students. So I thought that was pretty good. And I shared with them a couple of things. I was in North Carolina years ago and spoke at Cape Fear High School, if you've ever seen the movie. I was in Cape Fear and spoke in that school, and a young lady who evidently played softball there, who eventually signed a 4-year scholarship to play at North Carolina, came every night to hear me speak. It was in Asheville, North Carolina, I believe. And I was there 2 years in a row. The first year, we ended up moving from the auditorium eventually to their gym real quick. And so we started the next year in the gym. We forgot about the auditorium. And we had a bunch of people saved. I spoke in a lot of schools. And I noticed this young lady, she came every night. I'm doing this for a reason. And she sat on the second row, and she was wearing her softball. You know, she'd come from practice. You could tell she had slid and dirt everywhere, and that would have been my daughter. My daughter would have been nice looking and could beat guys up. That's all I'm going to tell you. And she's a gorgeous young lady, and she came every night and showed up just a few minutes late. She invited her team. She's a senior at that year, and she came to me on Wednesday night. Here's what she said. She said, "Brother Ken, is there any way you could go through Thursday?" Now, I've extended some meetings probably in the years I've been doing this about probably 30 times. We're supposed to be done on a Wednesday. In fact, a couple of them were in Knoxville, and we went another night. I was in one church. We actually went another 4 or 5 nights. And so she said, "Is there any way you go through Thursday?" I said, "Well, my plane is flying out Thursday. Hotel's going to be done." And I said, I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, all of my team, and most of them are lost, said if you stayed one more night, that they'd all come." So I said, "Here's the deal. I'm not going to say nothing to the pastor. But if that pastor at the end of the service gets up and says, 'Hey, Ken, can you go another night?' I'm going to know. I'm not a rocket scientist, but I'm going to know that God was in this thing." So I know she's praying for it, and I forgot all about it. We had a bunch saved that night. I was sitting up on the stage, and he was making some announcements. And sure enough, he knew nothing about my conversation. He turned around and said, "Brother Ken, is there any way you could go one more night?" And that young lady just sat and wept. And I said, "Well, I got to call my wife." I called her on stage and said, "Hey, babe, I think they want me to stay one more night." She said, "Go for it." And then I told them the story about that young lady. And sure enough, the next night, the whole team came. They all had been at practice. We saved a couple of rows, about 15, 16 girls. And 8 of those girls gave their life to Christ because of one young lady that was willing to go at least one more night. She said, "If you can just do it." I could tell you story after story after story. And we've got 2 more nights. It's supposed to rain tomorrow, so pretend you're going to a football game in the rain. Except we're going to do it indoors. So I hope that you'll be here tomorrow night as well. I'm speaking in 3 schools tomorrow, 3 schools. And I'm not getting paid for any of the schools. I want you to understand that. This is my livelihood. I appreciate you that have, you know, given me a little at my table. This is what I do for a living. And my shirts and my books, that helps me just keep going, pay some bills, and my grandkids really like it too. But I pray that you just won't be flippant about giving. And here's the other deal. Your tithe belongs to your church, so I don't want your tithe. It's me and my wife give above our tithe to different ministries in our church as well. So I practice what I'm preaching. So I pray that you'll pray for us, pray for the schools. Real quickly, last night I told you about my son's book. If you'll go and Google hashtag ButGod and put book, you can order these. And online, they're a lot cheaper. I think he sells them for about 20, but online, they're a little bit cheaper. And I would tell you to order about 10 of them and give them out. There's a 7-day devotional in here. So much more about my grandson and his story. You don't want to miss it. My pastor said this, if it wasn't for God's butts, where would our butt be? You'll get that later. I thought that was funny. And then my two books are at the back, Choices 101. My first book is called Rescued by the Cross. You actually can go online, but I no longer am with that publisher, so that's why I wrote these. And those things are back there. It's free. It didn't cost you nothing. Look at somebody eyeball to eyeball. Look at them. Say what I tell you to say. Look at them good. Are you looking at them? Find somebody. Look at them. Say, I don't care.
I care.
What anybody thinks?
I don't care.
What anybody says?
I think.
You look okay.
You look okay.
Give them a high five. Give them a high five. If you got a Bible, hold it up. I'm just curious. Man, I'm not being ugly. It means I'm getting ready to be. Dude, what are you doing coming to church without your Bible? Mark down here, I don't know if Mark's writing notes to his wife or what. I think he's taking notes. I think I coughed and I saw him write cough. No, I don't see many worship guys taking notes. Our pastors, our staff, I would encourage you, hold them up high. Everybody say, this book will keep me from sin. Our sin will keep me from this book. Amen. If you're listening, say yes. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. I like these four young ladies sitting on the front row. I really do. I wanted them to get up here, but they wouldn't do it. They're scared. If you are in the sixth grade in the youth group, are they? So if you're in the sixth grade through the 12th grade and you go to this church, stand. If you're in the sixth grade through the 12th grade, you go to this church, would you stand? Stand up. Just want to see. Okay, there's a new law starting Sunday. Say, look at me, because I'm going to call and check. There's a new law. This section over here, I want, if you're not sitting with your parents, I want all the 6th through 12th grade to start sitting on these first four or five rows. Look at me. If I hear you didn't do it, I'm coming back. But I, young people, I want you to tell you need to be sitting on these first four or five rows with your notebook, Bible. I would encourage you to do that. So should we vote on it? How many of y'all vote for them to sit on the first four or five rows? Raise your hand. If you're against it, you're lost, okay? Thank you for being here. Y'all be seated. I hope that you will do that. Everybody say heart.
Heart.
Everybody put your hand over your heart. Everybody say
God.
Tonight.
Speak to my heart.
Change my heart.
Empty my heart.
Fill my heart.
Break my heart.
Here's the bottom line. Tonight, God wants to speak to your heart. If you're listening, say yes. The message I'm about to give you happens every week. I promise, there's five hearts for you that are taking notes. Only one heart is the right one, and you need to make sure that you've got the right heart. If you're listening, say
yes.
If you can hear me, say, I can. So everybody say,
it's all about the heart.
Repeat after me. Say, what's in your heart? This is going to be fun. Comes out of your mouth.
What you say
is what you mean. How many of y'all have ever said something to somebody, and as soon as you said it, you said, I didn't mean to say it? Hold them up. Now, if you're not raising your hand, you're lying. And we know where liars go, right? Washington, D.C. Here's the deal. I don't care if anybody says that funny right there. So what's in your
heart
comes out of your
mouth.
What you say is what you
mean.
If you're listening, say yes. I don't believe every single thing, but pretty much what fills his heart is always going to come out of your life. In fact, my son, I wrote this down. He said the direction of your life is a reflection of your heart. I'm going to say it again. The direction of your life will always be a reflection of your heart. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. What you say is what you. If you read Ephesians 4:29, don't turn to it. It says this. It said, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only those words that will edify and bless the ones that hear. Can you imagine if we could only say nice stuff? I'm laughing because it'd be a quiet world. We'd be doing stuff like, it's so easy to say, I hate you, I wish I was never born, I get away from it. It's so easy. And so you're going to find out, by the way, it may be a quiet ride on the way home. Because you listen to people talk, watch. The more you hear me talk, the more you find out what fills my heart. I promise you. And so listen to people talk, and you'll find out what fills their heart. If you're listening, say yes. How many of y'all have more than one child in your life? Raise your hand. How many of y'all have learned something about your kids that they don't have the same heart? Now, I have two boys, Hunky and Dory, Alpha and Omega, but my boys are different. How many of y'all have a boy like this one? Josh, that's his name. He says, what? How many of y'all have one of those? Yeah, you want to slap the taste out of their mouth. But then on my other son, I would say, Jeremy, and he would cry uncontrollably. The reason being is my oldest son, his heart's a little tougher, but my youngest son, he's got a soft heart. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. What you say is what you. See, if I want to find out about you, all I need to do is pray with you. And we pray. Listen, when I finish, nobody's going to want to pray with me. Because we pray stupid stuff. If I want to find out about you, all I need to do is pray with you. Remember, I'm 24 different schools, 9 stepfathers in jail, slept in streets, bars, cars. And so I grew up, I didn't know anything about anything. And after I got saved, I started listening to people pray. We pray stupid stuff. You ever heard this prayer? Heavenly Father, forgive us all our sins. You ever heard anybody pray that? Mass forgiveness. I asked this guy, why did you pray that? He said, I don't know, I heard it. He didn't believe it. What's in your heart comes out of your heart. You ever heard this prayer? I love this prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, King God, Father, Lord. I kind of like the baby, you know, 8-ounce baby Jesus thing. I like the, he knows his name. Pick one and go with it. I mean, you don't come up to me and go, evangelist, brother, Ken, pastor. You just come up and go, dude, you got my attention. So a lot of people say all those names because they ain't got nothing to say. What's in your heart comes out of your heart. What you say is what you. I love it when deacons or whoever come to pray for the offering. I peek. By the way, there's not a verse that says close your eyes. We only close our eyes so we can focus. But I love watching these, and I'll be peeking. And I love it when they don't know who's supposed to pray. And I've seen it happen. I mean, I don't know what they're afraid of. They're going to pray the same prayer. Lord, we thank you for the small gift we're about to give you. Bless the gift and the... Amen. Roger, over now, God. You ever heard this one? This one. This one. I mean, I'm just telling you, prayer is a powerful thing. And you have to understand, if I listen to people pray, I can find out what's in there. Prayer is powerful. You ever heard this prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this food we're about to receive. I pray you take this food, bless this food to our bodies to your service. Bless the hands that wonder prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of y'all have ever heard that one? We ought to get Morgan Freeman. We ought to put it on a ringtone. And when you go out to eat, just hit play. And here's the deal. I don't even understand the prayer. How many of y'all have ever prayed for the hands? Come on, hold them up. You know you have. I was in Pizza Hut first time I heard that prayer. God, bless the hands. I could almost see the guy at the oven going, woo! So I asked the dude, I said, dude, why did you pray for his hands? Well, he made the food. I said, dude, he walked on his feet. Have you ever gone out to eat? How many of y'all go out to eat and you order appetizers? Have you noticed something? We never pray for them. Have you noticed? Nachos, cheese fries, we just, no prayer. And then the food comes. And all of a sudden, we get holy. And I don't know why we got to hold hands when we pray, because I don't know where your hands have been. We ought to just touch elbows. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Have you ever gone out to eat with somebody that's going to pray and they're going to get caught up on their prayer life? Just thank him. I was at lunch, this friend of mine, godly dude, they asked him to pray. They're all thinking we're going to go to the Holy of Holies. We're not. And so he bowed his head, and I knew what was about to happen. They're all waiting, and he did this. Thanks. And he started eating. I heard people go, did he say Jesus? He didn't even say amen. What's in your
heart?
Nobody's going to want to pray with me, I promise you. I've done this sermon. I'll go out to eat with the staff, and they said, we ain't praying. Ain't none of us. Prayer is a powerful thing. Amen? In fact, I want to save you on your prayer life. When you go to the grocery store, take the whole family. Do this one time. Get all the groceries in the basket for about 2 or 3 weeks. Go out to the parking lot. Gather around the basket. Touch elbows. God bless all this food for the next 3 weeks. And then you don't have to pray for your leftovers. Now, guys, all of that is funny. But if I listen to people talk long enough, if I listen to people pray, I can find out what fills their heart. Amen? Look at what he says. Here. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you, my oldest son, he had just gotten his license years ago. He was going to drive my wife and his little brother to school. And they're heading to school, and his brother's pretty pumped because his brother's driving. I wasn't there. It was good because my son got to live. He came to a four-way stop. Don't you hate four-way stops? Because nobody knows what to do. Nobody. It was his turn to go. My wife called me when all this happened. And so he was his turn. As he turned, another car ran a stop sign and almost hit him. My son let a cuss word fly. You know, if he'd have said hell, we could have worked with it because it's in the Bible. We could have done with it. But he didn't. Everybody say, sounds like. Fire truck. You know you got a blonde going, I will never say fire truck again. I don't know why. He let it fly. Pulled the car over. My youngest son began to cry uncontrollably. He knew when I found out he would be an only child. My wife was putting on her war paint. Ladies, I don't know why you do this. I saw a lady the other day. My wife's makeup went to the back of her head, almost had a baby, wasn't even pregnant. And my son looked at my wife and said, Mom, I have no idea where that word came from. Like it was in the pits of hell that day. And the devil said, I'm sending it up. Swirled through the universe and found San Antonio, Texas, seventh largest city in the United States. Swirled through my city, found my car. Went in through the air conditioning vent. Got into my son's mouth and came out. Is that what happened, yes or no? The word was in his. As funny as all that is, what's in your heart will always come out of your mouth. Are you ready? The direction of your life is a reflection of your heart. Do you have the right heart? Go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4. Go quickly. And would you look at verse 20? You hear those Bible pages turning? Proverbs 4, verse 20. If you're there, say, I'm there.
There.
I'm reading from the New Living. So here it says, my child, when I pause, you'll speak. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Watch verse 21. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your. This is important, for they will bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. And look at verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart. Did you hear what he said? Mine says it this way. He said, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. What's in your? Comes out of your? What you say is what you? Go, if you would, to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, it's right after chapter 16. For you that are looking. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. When you get there, say, I'm there. If you're still looking, say, I'm looking. Hurry up. If you don't have your Bible, say I'm lazy. Don't. Here it is. Jeremiah 17:5. Are you there? It's in the Old Testament. If you're looking in the New Testament, you're in trouble. Jeremiah 17:5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, or they rely on human strength. Get ready to speak. And they turn their away from the Lord. They're like stunted shrubs in the desert, no hope for the future. They live in a barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But look at verse 7. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. By the way, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your if you read in Matthew 22:34, an expert in law went to Jesus and said, Jesus, what's the most important thing in life? And listen to what he said, to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're listening, say yes. I've got a shirt on the back, and it shows what's in your, it says heart, but on the back it says, where your treasure is, there so is your, everything we do is about the heart. You got to make sure that you got the right heart. Five of them, I'm going to get to it. Read with me. Look at what he says in verse 8. They're like trees planted along a riverbank. They trust in the Lord, their hope and confidence, with roots that reach deep into the water. And these trees are not bothered by cancer. They're not bothered by divorce. They're not bothered by the weather. They're not bothered. Do you see that? They're not bothered by the economy. You got to read it this way. They're not bothered by heat, are worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and never stop producing fruit. And look at verse 9. The human heart is most deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Watch. I, the Lord, search all hearts, examine secret motives, and I give people their due rewards according to what they deserve. Go to Luke 6. I'm almost to my story. Go to Luke 6. Matthew, Mark, and Luke 6. Would you go to verse 45? When you get there, say I'm there. Luke 6:45. What's in your? Yeah, and I know somebody's going, golly, we repeat a lot. It's a good teacher. Sunday morning, we talked about the test. Last night, we talked about faith. Tomorrow night, there's a great chance I'm going to do Good Ain't Good Enough. And I'm also leaning to our message called Grace Works. Here's the bottom line. Everything we do, listen to people talk. And I would tell parents, pray for your children. Pray for your young people. Pray for their heart. Look at what he says. In Luke 6:45, I like how mine reads. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil. And look at what yours says. I didn't lie to you. Out of the overflow of your, the mouth speaks. Let me say it again. Out of the overflow of your, the mouth speaks. I don't cuss. Man, I could cuss wallpaper off a wall. And after I got saved, God changed my. And I promise you, the language is not there. I hit my head. I was at a mall. I hit my head. It didn't cut. It just hurt. I went, dude, that hurt. The guy next to me said, sir, I know that hurt. Don't you want to cuss? And I said, well, when I was lost, I probably would have cussed. I said, but I'm born again, love Jesus, and those words are no longer in my. And he looked at me and said, can I cuss for you? Please listen to me. Once you understand, listen to people talk, listen to people pray, and you're going to find out what fills their heart. Keep reading. He said, out of the overflow of your heart, I didn't lie. The mouth speaks. Amen? Go to Mark 7. I know I'm using a lot of the Bible. I know that's weird. Go to Mark 7. Look at verse 6. Mark 7:6. Man, I appreciate the worship tonight. That little girl, young lady that can sing it, I can't see. Man, that voice is unbelievable in that little teeny body right there. Great job. So here it is. Mark 7, verse 6. And by the way, if you watch these, just listen to them sing. Do you think they mean what they're singing? You can see their heart in worship. Watch this. Jesus replied in verse 6, Mark 7, 6. You hypocrites, Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, and he said this. These people, they honor me with their what? Everybody say lips. But their are far from me. Look at this. Their worship is a farce or a joke, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition. What's in your? Comes out of your? What you say is what you? Look at verse 14. Would you agree Jesus was a great storyteller? Man, how many of you? Grandmas are the best storytellers. How many of y'all would agree to that? Would you? I mean, my wife just makes up stuff. I'll never forget when my boys were little. I mean, they're, you know, 3 or 4 years apart. And I would hear my wife say, once upon a time, and I would get in that bedroom. I would put each boy on each knee because I didn't hear any of that growing up. And my wife would begin to, I mean, it was unbelievable. Have you ever thought about the stories that we tell kids, nursery rhymes? Have you ever thought about them? Humpty Dumpty sat on a, Humpty Dumpty had a great, how's a horse going to put an egg back together? I want to know. Little Miss Muffet sat on a, I don't even know what that is. Eating a bowl of, don't know. Along came a, why do we want to do this? Rock-a-bye baby in the tree. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. Down will come baby, cradle in. Why are we rocking babies asleep in the tree? Have you all thought about this stuff? Jack and Jill went up the, both with a pail of. Jack fell down, broke his, because Jill shoved him. Are you ready for this next one? It's going to mess you up. Rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a. Hey, dude, I thought I heard a spider. Jesus was a great storyteller. Look at what he said. I love it. There's still a kid laughing somewhere. He's going, okay, dude, that was funny. Here it is. Mark 7, verse 14. So Jesus called the crowd together and he said, all of you listen, try to understand. I like how mine reads. Verse 15. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You're defiled by what comes from your, everybody say heart. Look at verse 20. And then he added this. He said, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. Get ready to speak. For from within, out of a person's, repeat after me, say, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things can come from your, if you're listening, say yes. All right, here's my story. Go to Matthew 13. Go to Matthew 13. And here's my story. Five hearts, and I'm working fast, I promise you. Some lady came up and said, I wish you'd quit working fast. Matthew 13, I want to read it. I want to give you the five hearts. Matthew 13, and then hold your finger there, and I want you, if you could, some way, somehow, go to Luke chapter 8, because it's going to explain the story, and I want you, if you would, to maybe mark Luke 8. We'll go there in a few moments, Luke chapter 8, and I'll tell you where we'll start there, okay? So you're going to mark that, and then we're going to start in Matthew 13. So here it is. Man, I love hearing those Bible pages turn. Are y'all ready? Here's Matthew 13. Later that day, Jesus left the house, sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him. He got into the boat. He sat there and taught people from the shore. He told many stories. Here's a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So look at what he said. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. I'm going to read fast, but I'll explain it. As he scattered the seed, them across the field, some seeds fell on the footpath. The birds came and ate them. That's heart number one. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. Since they had no deep roots, they died. Heart number two. Other seeds fell among the thorns, grew up, choked out the tender plants. Heart number three. Still other seeds fell in the fertile soil that produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much that was planted. Anyone with ears should hear, should listen and understand. Verse 10. Then the disciples said, "Hey, Jesus, why are you telling us these stories? Now watch. You're permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching," if you're listening, say, "I am," "more understanding will be given them. They'll have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening," and I hope that's not anybody in this room, "even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. This is why I use these parables. For people look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really understand." Look at verse 15. I'm going to explain the story. Verse 15. "For the hearts of these people are" what? Everybody say calloused. Say hard. Go to Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Let's look at the five hearts. Let me explain it. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. When you get there, say, "I'm there." Man, I'm impressed. Young lady taking notes over here. And I hope that you'll start carrying notebooks. I hope you'll start bringing your underline. So here's the bottom line. Guess what the soil represents in the story? Y'all help me. The soil represents your... So there's going to be five hearts. I only gave you four, but I'm going to give you five. Guess what the seed represents in the story? Everybody say word of God. I'm liking you right there. He's with me right here. We're together. So I'm trying to plant God's into every one of your... And this is what's scary. There are some of you here that will leave and maybe say something that I never said. And here's how it works. Oh, by the way, guess what the birds represent in the story? Everybody say the devil. How many of y'all ever saw the Alfred Hitchcock movie, The Birds? How many of y'all have never seen it? Get it! You'll never look at another sparrow the same way. My wife and I got out of my car. We were heading into the mall in San Antonio. And I don't know how it is around here, but around 5,000 or 6,000, I got them on my phone. I took a video. Thousands of birds chirping, waiting for us to drop some food. I got out of my car and I heard them chirping. Thousands. My wife said, "Why are we stopping?" I said, "Do you hear those birds?" I said, "Do you remember that Alfred Hitchcock movie? Remember what those birds did after they chirped? They pecked everybody's eyes out." My wife said, "You're an idiot." Pray for her heart. That was in her heart. I said, "Babe, you don't know what those birds are saying. They may be saying, get the fat boy, get the fat boy." My wife looked at me and she said, "All right, we're going to walk a little faster, but you're still an idiot." Because that was still in her. Pray for her heart. Now, you're laughing, but can I tell you how it works? Here's how. The enemy doesn't mind you being here, but he does not want you to listen, young people. And so for you that don't bring a notebook, for you that don't write, for you that don't have your Bible, the enemy wants to steal God's from your heart. You see, you got to make sure you've got the right heart. So the birds represent the enemy. The soil represents our heart. The seed represents God's word. So let's see if I told you the truth. So Jesus says, "Let me explain it," and here it is. Luke 8, verse 11. If you're there, say, "I'm there." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell in the footpath represents those who hear the message. I love how this reads, Mark. Watch this. "Only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved." Heart number one, write it down. I call it the calloused heart. Everybody say calloused. Say cold. And there may be some of you sitting here with your arms folded, or you're mad because mom and dad made you come. They ought to be shot for making you come to church. They ought to be put in jail. But see, listen to people talk and you're going to find out what fills there. Don't stop listening. Everybody say calloused. Cold. That's the first heart, calloused heart. Are you ready? I'm in Second Baptist, Pasadena, Texas. James Robinson got an incredible story, was going to be preaching. This man heard about it. He'd lost his wife. His kids were into drugs. They were all screwed up. And he went in hopes that James Robinson could give him a little hope and help. He sat kind of to the back, a good-sized church. He said the music was done. James got up to speak, and he said he had his notebook ready to write some things down and was hopefully going to meet him afterwards. Wasn't a Christian. Wanted to find out how God could make this better. All of a sudden, it wasn't 2 or 3 minutes, 3 or 4 girls were talking to each other, and they were eating food and having fun. And then somebody got up and went to the bathroom, and there was a baby that was crying. And then all of a sudden, somebody else went to get a drink. And it got chaotic. And after about 15, 20 minutes, he got up and left. Walked to an alley and wrote all this on a paper. And said, man, I wanted to get help, but with all the distractions, I just felt like maybe God was done with me. He folded it up, put it in an envelope that he had, and he wrote, give to James Robinson. And it wasn't too far from the church. And the young man took his own life. I want you to listen. Because people decided not to listen, it affected his life. What's in your? Comes out of your? What you say is what you? Now, and I realize I preach a long time. I got it. I went to the bathroom before I came. So y'all are in trouble. But how many of y'all, it would blow you away if about every 20 minutes I went to use the bathroom, told y'all to stay here? How many of y'all that would bother you? Come on, raise your hands. Hold them up. So then you don't do it. I might follow you if you leave early. I love the ones going, dude, I got to go, but I ain't leaving. Now, if you're pregnant, leave anytime you want. First man I see leaving, I'm following you, dude. I'm just telling you. You see what's in your, comes out of your, what you say is what you. Everybody say calloused, cold, say hard. You know what's sad about this first heart? The seed never got to where it was supposed to go. Here's the second heart. Look at what he said in verse 13. The seeds on the rocky soil represents those, they hear the message, they receive it with joy. Since they have no deep roots, they believe for a while, watch, they fall away when they face temptation. Everybody say calloused. Everybody say careless. That's the second heart. Remember, 5 of them, only 1 saved. Everybody say careless. Say shallow. I'm getting ready to, I don't think I'm going to embarrass anybody. I got to see if I can find my picture. If you're listening, say yes. Yes. How many of you, you know what bothers me is people who have been in the church forever and they don't know how to pray. They don't share their faith. They don't know scripture. Church is kind of a casual thing. How many here, if I called on you to pray right now, if I called on you to walk up to this stage, and by the way, I might do it. How many of y'all think I might do it? Yeah, it scares you. How many of you honestly would say, Brother Ken, if you called me up to the stage, now if you're a new Christian, that's a different thing. But Brother Ken, if you called me up to the stage, I couldn't do it. I couldn't pray in front of all these people. I'm curious. How many of y'all would be a little timid in doing that? Would you raise your hands? Because if you're not, I may call on you. Just hold them up. I know this dude in the red will. I know he would. Hold them up high. Can I tell you why? Listen, prayer is a powerful thing. Prayer is the pause that empowers us. And the reason we can't do, and by the way, you shouldn't, if you've been saved a while, listen, I'll never forget, I was so intimidated after I got saved, because, you know, I'm around all these preachers and everything. And here's what God said to me. He said, you're not praying to them. You're praying to me. And the reason we are uncomfortable praying, we don't do it enough. The reason we don't share our faith, because we don't know scripture. Listen, I'm just telling you, if your heart is full of the Word of God, the Word of God's going to come out. Everybody say shallow. How many of y'all fish? Anybody fish? Yeah, I'm not. I don't want to catch flippers, shoot Daffy, or kill Bambi. I'm not into it. I'd rather be in the mall with my wife than in the woods with men. Can I get an amen, ladies? Somebody said, that's weird. No, what's weird is when you got five men putting on an orange vest, spraying themselves with deer urine, and they're going to sit in the woods with other men. That's weird. My son has gone to Africa, and he's got animals all in his house. He's a fisherman. I'm not. And so for my 20th wedding anniversary, we got a good deal to go to Maui. I had some miles to fly my son and his wife, my other son, his wife-to-be. And when we got there, it was my anniversary. And of course, I'm paying for everything, my anniversary. I did get a card that said, love you, Dad, happy anniversary. That was all I got. So my son wanted to go deep sea fishing. I don't even know what that means. Now I do. And so he wants to go deep sea fishing. He wants to catch a blue marlin. I didn't even know there were colors. I didn't even know what a marlin was. So I went with him. It was like 5 a.m. Another reason I didn't want to go fishing. And I wasn't going to give him my debit card, so we went. It cost us. And so as we got on this boat to go deep sea fishing, looking for a blue marlin, the captain said, there's going to be a contest. This is in Maui, and there's boats everywhere. There's going to be a contest, and if anybody, whoever catches the biggest blue marlin, will win $1,000. Now I'm thinking about being a fisherman. And my son's good. But then he said this. I was happy until he said, but we didn't enter the contest. Now I hate him. Because that was in my... So we go out looking for a blue marlin. We were out there 5-6 hours. Nothing. We couldn't find Dory or Nemo. I looked for the turtle that said dude. We couldn't find Charlie Tuna, look for Flipper, and we would have freed Willie if we could have found him. Nothing! 5 hours, nothing! The captain said, we're getting ready to go in. I said, we ain't going in till he gets some kind of a bite. I said, Josh, I paid a lot of money for you to get a bite. And I know you think I'm going to lie. I'm not. And I'll have this at my table, by the way. And about 6-7 minutes later, he got a bite. And he's sitting in this chair, and they put like 3 seatbelts on him. Y'all been there? And I'm standing behind him. And the captain said, now listen, and I don't know a whole lot, but I know that you're real, and every now and then you'll pause. So, you know, that hook will go deeper. And so he said, every time your son reels, I want you to hold him back. I said, why am I holding him back? He said, well, that dude could pull him into, I'm going to let him go. Are you ready? 23 minutes later, it was the only blue marlin caught that day. 6 feet long, 195 pounds. I get chills when I say this. Oh, he's got it in his house. It's mounted. But I want you to listen. Do you think he'll ever forget that day? Yes or no? Watch this. He couldn't do it in a lake. He couldn't do it in a pond. He couldn't do it. He had to go deep. And the reason some of you don't go deep in the Word, the reason we're not in the Word, I want you to listen. I just talked with a young lady. I'm getting ready to go to Knoxville. She's filed for divorce. Married 10 years. And if I told you who the man was, you may have heard of him. Bottom line is, I said, how often did y'all pray together? 10 years, never. How often did you talk about biblical things? Never. How often did you go to church? We stopped. Everybody say calloused, cold, hard. I'll have this at my table. Everybody say careless, shallow. Third heart. God, we're doing good. Look at the third heart, verse 14. The seeds that fell among the thorns represents those. They hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares. Watch this, young people. The cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. And so they never grow to maturity. Everybody say calloused, careless. Say crowded. It's funny how people can just crowd Jesus out of their life. Now, I'm going to tell you, Scott's a lot like my son. I mean, they go 24/7. 24, I'm just telling you, they do. And here's the bottom line. Constantly, my son last week had 20 conversations with people, not counting that he preached twice, not counting that him and his staff, they have staff meetings, elder meetings. I want you to listen. If you were to meet my son, I'm telling you, you wouldn't be around him. You would know. Well, you saw his heart last night. The hardest part of my grandson that passed away was I couldn't fix it. I could fix anything, but that's what I couldn't fix. But when I hear my son say, I don't want anybody to hurt, and he tears up, I lose it every time. You see, what's in your comes out of your. What you say is what you. If you're listening, say yes. Say callous, careless. Say crowded, cluttered, confused. If those three hearts describe you, you're lost. You're not bad. You just got the wrong heart. Number four, watch. Verse 15. God, I like how this reads, Mark. The seeds that fell on the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people who not only hear God's word, but they cling to it, and they patiently produce a huge harvest. Everybody say Christ-like. Go, if you would, back to Matthew 13. Go there, if you would. Say Christ-like. Say fruitful. Say faithful. Do you understand? And notice what he said. Let me go back. Look at Matthew 13 and look at what he says in verse 23 about the Christ-like heart, the fruitful heart, the obedient heart, the faithful heart. Look at what he says in verse 23, Matthew 13. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word. And watch this, Scott. They produce a harvest of 30, 60, 100 times more that was planted. You know, I've asked this of pastors, and I didn't know. I looked it up. But why would he use, young people, why would he use 30, 60, 100? I'm going to tell you why. Because there are some Christians that have a Christ-like heart, but they produce about 30%. Oh, by the way, they're not here tonight, probably. And then you got another group that produces about 60%. They want to be more faithful. But can I tell you, the minority in our church, it's the 100%ers. Can you imagine, by the way, I'm preaching to me as much as you. Can you imagine if people loved like you love, prayed like you prayed, tithed like you tithe, served like you serve, studied the word, what kind of church would we have? I promise you, there's not a lot of 100%ers in this room, but I could spot some of them. And we need more people to produce even more. If you're listening, say yes. Heart number five, and we're done. Here it is. Go to Matthew 13, verse 24. Here's the last heart. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer, I'm going to read fast, who planted good seed in his field. That night as the workers slept, the enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat. When the crop began to grow, the weeds began to grow. The farmer's workers said, who planted the weeds with their wheat? And look what the farmer said. The enemy's done this. And look at the next question. Shouldn't we pull up the weeds? Now, I want you to listen, because I like being on the road, because when I'm at home, I got so much honeydew stuff to do. And it's always in the yard. I mean, I stained our playground set. I can't even play on it. Look at me. You have to understand, and as I read through this, he said, shouldn't I uproot the wheat? He said, if you uproot the weeds, you might pull up the wheat. Look at what he said. Let them grow together. Watch this. And then when the harvest comes, watch. This is the fifth art. He said, when the harvest comes, he says, let them both grow together. And I'll tell you, the harvesters sort out the weeds and bundles and burn them. Everybody say hell. He said, get the wheat, put them in the barn. Everybody say heaven. Go to verse 37. He explains it. Verse 37. The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. But the enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. And just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, watch this, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. The angels will throw them into a fiery furnace, but the righteous will shine forever. Everybody say calloused, careless, crowded, Christ-like, fruitful, faithful. Here's heart number five. You ready? Write it down. This is heart number five. I'm going to ask, are you going to play? Will you come play real song? I don't know what song you got, heart song, something. I don't know. I appreciate him. Are you ready? Oh, you're all right. Look at me close. I know people are afraid to leave. Listen, I'm not going to follow you, maybe. Look at me close. Everybody say counterfeit. That's the fifth heart. Write it down. I'm going to share with you what I believe are the three saddest verses in the Bible. You see, we got a lot of people. In fact, let me just tell you this couple. I think their marriage is done. I think it's over. And I've known her since she was 6-7 years old. And she saved herself for this gentleman. He's abused her, used her. I've already been sending her scriptures. I want you to know that I call a lot of people, pray with a lot of people. And my heart's broken. And here's what I said to Kendall. I said, you know what? I don't think he's saved. You've never opened the Bible. You've never prayed. Don't go to church. He's not a very good husband. Not a very good dad. Two boys. I've cried with them. I'm going to cry when I see them. I think he's a counterfeit. My wife used to work in a bank. She went to school. I was working a couple jobs. And they get counterfeit money. And they try to figure out where it came from. It kind of happens this way. I worked at a convenience stores, and somebody might give me a counterfeit $20 bill, and I would take it, look 20, put it in my register, give them change. My manager might take that $20 bill and go get gas, and the guy at the gas station might take the $20 out and go to McDonald's because he doesn't care about his life. If they come up with another McSumpin, I'm going to slap them. That guy might go to Subway, and when it all gets said and done, that money finally gets into a bank bag and eventually makes it to the bank. And when it gets there, they find out that it was counterfeit. I'm going to share with you in a moment the three saddest verses in the Bible. I want everybody looking this way. If you really listen, raise your hand. Because see, even in the balcony, you got to work hard. Now, for you that are mad at me, at least you know something about your heart. And you that are searching, struggling. He said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm or hurt you, but give you hope in the future. And then he said this in Jeremiah 29, if you search for me with all your heart, you'll find me. Everybody say counterfeit. I had a friend of mine whose dad caught people who made counterfeit money. And I had a question. I said, dude, how do you know what's counterfeit? And here's what he said. He said, because I study the real thing. And when you know what's real, you can spot it. Listen, Judas was a counterfeit. He took his own life. By the way, it didn't save him. If he would have given up Jesus today, Judas, it would have been about maybe $18. It cost him. So here's my question. If your heart were to stop, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? That's the question. And there are some of you, I promise you, there are people in the back, there are people here, now you understand why you don't have a heart for the Word of God, why you don't have a heart for lost people. And I don't think I'm just preaching to the choir. You don't have a heart or a passion for mission, or you don't have a heart to serve or volunteer. There's some incredible people here. Before I give you the three, I think, toughest verses you'll ever read, this is the story. I was on American Airlines, first class. I don't look like it, but I got upgraded. And I'm sitting there, and I had a paper. I don't know if it was Dallas Morning News or USA Today. And I went to about the second or third page, and it got my attention. Because I watch news, I read news. And it said, heart transplant. Man, it got my attention. Because I'd preached this message several times. See if y'all can help me. By the way, if you're a crier, you better get your Kleenexes out. Here, hand me that box right there, would you? Right there, yeah. Yeah, I'll start passing them out if I see you. The first 10 or so times that I shared this story, I couldn't get through it. It said heart transplant. Do you know what that means? Watch this. Somebody has to, so that somebody can. Somebody had to, so that somebody could. Watch, but this is powerful. This 59-year-old man in Dallas needed a heart transplant. Somebody had to, so he could. A 19-year-old girl was at Texas A&M, driving around with her friends. They all loved Jesus, Jesus lovers. She was incredible. They had a wreck. No drugs, no nothing. It just was a freak wreck. Everybody was killed except the 19-year-old girl. She was on a life support, and her heart was good. She was on the life, whatever, and eventually they took the heart out of this girl and life flighted it. I don't know how they do this stuff, to Dallas. And they took that 19-year-old girl's heart and put it in that 59-year-old man's body. Somebody had to, so he could. Are y'all listening? There's a time I couldn't cry. There's a time I lived in so much fear. Would hide under my bed, would hide in a closet. And when I got saved, God changed my heart. This 59-year-old man, they put that heart in his, and it worked. A few days later, he opened up his eyes in his bed, and all the doctors and nurses, they were outside of the, they could see in the glass, and they were all weeping. You have to understand, that's not a common thing. When my grandson passed away in Dallas, the nurses who had worked with him for 200 and something days rushed up to the hospital. They just stood in his room. And for 2 weeks, they wouldn't put anybody in his bed. They wept. My son said, Dad, it was unbelievable. They actually visited my son's church. Bottom line is, 59-year-old man woke up and everybody was crying. His wife was weeping. He thought something was wrong with his. And here's what she said. No, you got the right heart. But we got to tell you where you got it. Somebody had to, so he could. She was 19 years old at Texas A&M, a freshman. Loved Jesus. I think she played piano, sang, loved people. Would always tell people about Jesus. And she went on for a few minutes. And after just a few minutes, people are just weeping. Well, he didn't notice that somebody was missing in the room. She said, we've already, this young lady's in the grave. We're going to go see her because that 19-year-old girl was our daughter. And here's what she said. You're always going to have your little girl's heart. Somebody had to, so somebody could. Watch close. Do you think that man lived any different after that day? And when his heart would beat, guess who he thought about? His daughter. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. You don't have to look at it, but here it is. Here's the counterfeit. Many are going to say, hey, Lord, Lord. And he says, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, it says, only those who do the will of my Father. Then he goes on to say, many, that word means majority. The majority are going to say, hey, Lord, we preached in your name. I want you to think about this, because you got churches, you got preachers, priests, you got all kinds that, listen, they're lost. He said, didn't we preach in your name, cast out demons in your name? We perform miracles in your name. These people think they're going to go to. And listen to what Jesus says. I hope y'all are listening. Jesus will look at these people and say, depart from me, because I never knew you. Hell will be full of people who had the wrong heart. Would you bow your heads? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of y'all needed that word tonight? Raise your hand. Can you think of somebody that's got the wrong heart? We got to get them here. I invited 50 today. I'm going to invite probably 1,200, 1,500 tomorrow and Wednesday as well. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask. I was in Mayfield, Kentucky. Chief Cornerstone Baptist, an incredible church in the middle of stinking nowhere. And they run about 500. I've been there about five or six times. He brings me back almost every year. And one of the first times I went, I preached this message. And I noticed a young lady as I was leaving. She was talking to the pastor. Everybody's gone. I was one of the last to leave. The pastor called me. I said, dude, I don't care how late it is. It's about 2 a.m. He said the young lady, his wife was there with him, but the young lady said, I grew up in a pastor's home. I grew up in the church, in the Bible. And here's what she said. I don't know what my dad's going to say. I don't know what my parents are going to, my mom. I don't know what my husband's going to say. But I got the wrong heart, Brother Ken. And that night, God changed her heart and saved her. It's the hardest thing. And here's what the pastor said. It's unbelievable. She was already doing well, but when she got saved, it changed everything. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's pretty simple. How many here would say, Brother Ken, now listen to me quiet. You may be a 30%er. You might be a 60%er. You might be a 100%er. I'm not asking that, but I am asking this. How many here would say, if my heart were to stop, if I were to die? Brother Ken, according to what you preach, be careful. My son, like your pastor, raised their hands several times, knowing about God in their head, but not saved in their heart. How many here would say, Brother Ken, Mr. Freeman, yo dude, please don't look around. Brother Ken, I got a Christ-like heart. I know that if I died, and if you were saved Sunday, you'd be able to raise your hand, but you'd say, Brother Ken, I know that if I died, Christ were to come, I'm going to be with Jesus. I've got a Christ-like heart. Would you raise your hands? Be careful. Be careful. Be careful, young man, young lady, mom, dad. Be careful. Put them down. Can I ask the second question? And I'm not going to come grab you or follow you. How many here would say, Brother Ken, Mr. Freeman, yo dude, this might surprise the people I'm sitting with, my husband, my wife, might surprise my pastor, might surprise my kids. But Brother Ken, I'm going to be as honest as I can be. I listened to your message and I looked at my life. Brother Ken, if my heart were to stop, if I were to die, I've realized tonight that I got the wrong heart. Would you just pray for me? If that's you, would you raise your hands? Come on, put them up. Come on, all over this room. Come on, hold them up high. Come on, mom, dad, the balcony. Would you hold them up high? I see at the very top. Put them back down. You know why I'm going to ask it again? Because a handful of you I could see didn't raise your hand to any question. So either God's not dealing with your heart, maybe. God's done dealing with your heart. I don't think so. Or maybe you just don't need God. And I say this, if you don't know you need God, you'll never know you need God. So I'm going to ask it again. You either have a Christ-like heart or you don't. So I'm going to ask it again. How many sitting here, sir, mom, dad, church member, visitor, staff, deacon, Sunday school teacher? How many here would say, Brother Ken, this might surprise some people, but I've realized tonight I got the wrong heart. Would you pray for me? If that's you, raise your hand one more time. Come on, put them up all over this room. Come on, hold them up. Come on. Husband, wife, mom, dad. I see it at the very top. Unashamed. Put them down. Well, we're going to find out if you mean business. Watch this. The Bible says if you believe, this is in Romans, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believed he raised from the dead, he said, I'll save you.